Good morning, everyone. When I left home to come here today, I didn't anticipate wearing a sticker. But it's here, and I'll just let it stay. And I'll give it a pat now and again, reminding me of my commitment. And we thank the Lord for His goodness and His grace. In connection with this sticker, the most I'll say at this time is, to God be the glory. The Lord has been very gracious to us, and we just praise His wonderful name. I heard when the kids were giving their memory verses, several of the verses from John's Gospel chapter 4, or memorized, and I believe it's a good thing to memorize the Word of God. And those of you who are teaching your little ones in your family or have classes, I believe that it is one of the most fruitful, one of the most beneficial ministries of the church. So continuously. Will you remember that? John's Gospel, chapter 4, as you are aware, whenever we come to the Boulevard Bible Chapel, we usually have information on the passage for study, and that information comes through faithfully via our brother Malcolm Skelton, and he's telling us, in effect, well, you can preach on any subject you wish, but this is the scripture portion. And we have the scripture portion. It's from John chapter 4. We'll read just a few verses, beginning at verse 43. After 2 days, Jesus departed from there and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. The prophet has no honor in his own country. Then, when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down before my child dieth. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. He went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to improve. And they said unto him, yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And he himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. May God bless to our hearts the reading of these verses of his precious word. There are three words at the top of the notes that I received concerning the lesson for today. And I thought we would just focus on these three words for a few moments today. The first word is the word prophet. Prophet. A man who by divine revelation speaks the inspired word of God. It is sometimes said that the Old Testament prophet is a foreteller. The New Testament prophet is a foreteller. But there came on the scene someone who was both a foreteller and a forth-teller. Never man spake like this man. From the time of his arrival as a babe in Bethlehem, the devil sought to destroy him. But I am happy to report that Jesus Christ our Lord is indestructible. He is immortal. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords forever and forever. So though they tried to destroy him, thank God they did not succeed. Actually, they thought they had succeeded when they had him nailed to a cross on Golgotha's tree. They thought that we got him at last. We have put him where we want him. That'll be the end of him. But the word of God plainly declares that God raised him from the dead in fulfillment of the prophecy of David saying, "Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And thank God, Jesus, the great prophet, the eternal prophet, he lives and reigns and abides forever. He is very much alive. Someone started to circulate the idea that God was dead. And when a certain Christian heard that expression, he said, "Really, I didn't even know that he was ever sick. God dead? Oh no. Jesus Christ lived before he was born. And after his death, we see him alive again." He said to John on the Isle of Patmos, "I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore." Great prophet of God. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, there is mention made, a prophecy given to us there by Moses, Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Verse 15, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet." And you will notice that that word is spelt with a capital P. A prophet. A special prophet. An unusual prophet. A divine prophet. A prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not." And the Lord said unto me, "They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth." And thank God, when Jesus came, he didn't speak of himself. What the Father gave him, that he spoke. And the testimony concerning him was, "Never man speak like this man. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." What the Lord had to say during his earthly ministry, as he communicated the mind of God to the people, what he had to say was of tremendous importance, and it does us well to heed every word that he has spoken. Great prophet. The prophecy of Deuteronomy chapter 18 was fulfilled in the manger at Bethlehem. That babe that was born in Bethlehem's manger is none other than the Son of the Highest, a prophet and the prophet of God. When he came, there was no pomp, no splendor, no fanfare, came in lowliness and in humility. He who was rich for our sakes became poor. At his birth, a heathen king attempted to slay him. At the age of 30, we read that he began his public ministry in Nazareth. And we have that story in Luke chapter 5. When you have opportunity, we encourage you to read Luke chapter 5. As he entered the synagogue, and he read from the prophecy of Isaiah, he told the people gathered there, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." This scripture is fulfilled. And he spoke to them the word of God. What was their reaction? Remember, in John chapter 4, he says, "A prophet has no honor in his own country." What was the reaction of the congregation in the synagogue in Nazareth? The Bible tells me all of them, they were all filled with wrath. They rose up to thrust him out of the city and took him to the brow of the hill. They wanted to cast him down headlong. They wanted to destroy him. But passing through the midst of them, he went his way. His hour had not come. Reading the accounts of several Old Testament scriptures, we come to the conclusion that the Red Sea could not drown him. The rivers could not overflow him. The fires could not burn him. In the book of Daniel, read that those lions could not consume him. He is the immortal God. Invisible in the Old Testament scriptures, but visible in the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament scriptures. In reading Luke's Gospel chapter 20, we have a parable there of a vineyard owner who sent his servants to collect fruit from the vineyard, sent his prophets year after year. What did the people do to these prophets and these servants of the owner? They ill-treated them. They beat some of them. They sent them away empty. And one day, the owner says, "Perhaps they will reverence my son. I'm going to send my beloved son." And thank God, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sent his well-beloved son. Not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He sent him not to gather some fruit and have a great time and come back to glory with a big harvest, but he sent him into the world that we might live through him. And in order for us to get the life of God, in order for us to be saved by the grace of God, the well-beloved son was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The well-beloved son, the prophet of God, the only great prophet of God, sinless and perfect, he went to Calvary's cross that you and I might be saved. And we say, thank God for the work of Jesus Christ. This prophet had no honor in his own country. Even though in Psalm 105, God says through the psalmist, "Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm." You people, when you see a prophet of God, don't hurt him. Don't obstruct him. When you see a prophet of God, do him no harm. But when they saw Jesus, what did they say? We won't have this man to reign over us. When they saw Jesus, what did they say? Luke chapter 20 tells us they said, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him. The inheritance shall be ours. But thank God, it was a part of God's plan that he should be wounded for our transgressions. He should be bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And praise the Lord, with his stripes we are healed. This prophet, this great prophet, had no honor in his own country. Despised, rejected of men. John tells us he came unto his own received him not. And because they rejected him, they are accountable to God for the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be careful that we pay due respect and homage to this prophet, this eternal prophet, the Son of the living God, because he is worthy to be praised. So the prophet has no honor in his own country, but we honor him. We say like John, we love him. At least I hope that is our decision. That is, these would be the sentiments of our hearts. We love him because he first loved us. Now, we read here not only of the prophet who has no honor in his own country, but we read of a problem. Jesus came into Cana of Galilee, where he made water to wine. That was a problem in Cana of Galilee. He comes back to Cana of Galilee. And there is a bigger problem. Running out of wine at a wedding reception, no big thing. He, the prophet of God, he, the servant of the Most High, he, the Lord of life and glory, was able to just speak the word, fill the water pots with water, and then pour out, and the water was turned into wine. Marvelous miracle. But here is a bigger problem. There's a nobleman with a child who is ill, nigh unto death. A big problem. A difficult situation needing immediate attention. If we don't do something, then this child is going to die. Now, I don't know how many of you have problems. All of us gathered here, I believe, know what it is, what it means to have a problem, a difficult situation that you can't handle. Dr. Jerry Falwell had on his program a man who had cerebral palsy, did not speak very fluently, but he had him preaching in his church up here in Virginia, and on radio and on television, and some of you have heard this dear man deliver the message of God. How many of you have heard him? David somebody. Yes, we've heard him. Jerry Falwell was promoting this dear brother and bringing the message that he had to the attention of the people in this country. And I enjoyed listening to him. Man with an impediment, a real handicap, but God was blessing his ministry. And one thing I remember about his message, in the course of his message, he told the folk, he says, I have a problem. I know what my problem is. Then he asked, what's your problem? And if we be honest and answer that question, we all would have to admit that we have problems. The world has a lot of problems. The people of the United States of America have
a lot of problems.
Our president has a big problem, big problems on his hands. And he calls Colin Powell, one of his chief assistants, help me! See if we can solve this problem! And puts him on a plane and sends him all the way over to the Middle East to see if he can negotiate some type of treaty to solve, bring about some type of solution to the problem. But I am here to tell you that even before Colin Powell left the States to go and negotiate with Arafat and Sharon, even before he went, I had a feeling that there's only one person that can settle that issue. Colin Powell, God bless him, but he's not the man. Our president, he's not the man. They are trying. A lot of Christians are praying. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But you know, this prophet of whom we read in John chapter 4 and verse 44, this prophet who has no honor in his own country, one of his names is Prince of Peace. And he is the one and the only one who can solve the problem that faces the world today. He solved the problem in Cana of Galilee when he went to the wedding. He comes now again into the same location. And here's the problem of a sick child. The nobleman comes to him, and the nobleman, he says to him, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. That's a wise move. The nobleman went to Jesus and besought him, begged him, come down, heal my son. He's at the point of death. He had no doubt tried all the medications that he would have at home and that his friends and family would suggest to effect a remedy because the child is dying. And having exhausted all the avenues of assistance that he figured he could utilize to bring his son back to health, he went to Jesus and begged him. I think that's a wise thing that he did. Don't you think so? He went to someone who was Lord of life and glory. He went to the one who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He went to the one who was omnipotent and omniscient, all wise. He knows that the best of our physicians, our scientists, and our medical personnel, they have their limitations. But this Bible tells me that with God, nothing is impossible. So you have a problem? Bring it to Jesus. Are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? Is your problem domestic? Is it an emotional problem that you have? Turmoil in your heart, in your home? What about your business? Some people are very concerned about the trend of business in these difficult days. What kind of problem do you have? I know what it means to have to go to the physicians, to go into surgery, to have serious situations facing me, medical problems. I know what that means. I have been there. But thank God, I also know what it means to contact Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. You have a problem with sin. You have a problem with an addiction. I don't know if there's anybody here in this meeting this morning who is addicted to alcohol, to drugs, to an immoral lifestyle. I don't know if there's anybody in this meeting who has never put their trust, their confidence, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because they just don't believe that he can help them. And they ask this question: is there anyone can help us? Is there someone who understands our hearts when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed? One who sympathizes with us, yet in wondrous love imparts the very, very blessing that we need? Is there anybody? And a lot of folk who are distressed, in trouble, have a major problem, a lot of them turn to the church, and the church is not always able to help. The church is not always able to provide a solution. They turn to the priest or the rabbi or the evangelist. Help me, help me. The world is crying out for someone who will grant and give eternal deliverance. Thank God, that person, the only person who can solve these problems, is Jesus Christ our Lord, our Savior. And we encourage you, only trust him. Look to him. Whatever your need may be, brethren may not be able to help you with it, but Jesus can. I was blessed on a recent visit to this church at a missionary meeting on a Monday evening, and I heard a dear brother from this podium speak about a camel going through the eye of the needle. And my first response to that information he was giving from the Word of God was, how is it possible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? And then the thought he shared with me, or with us, those of you who were present at that meeting, was the Word of God says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible. Even if it appears to be impossible, God is able. Even if it appears that you're up against a blank wall, it appears hopeless. The situation seems to indicate that you've been on a one-way street, down a blind alley with a dead end. No hope. No ray of sunshine. Yet, God is able. You know, Paul says to the Ephesians, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So the great prophet, who has no honor in his own country, a nobleman approaches him, and this nobleman was no doubt a Gentile. A Jew wouldn't have a position of authority in Herod's court. No, but a nobleman, a Gentile. And he was asking, my son, my child is sick. He confessed his problem. He went to someone who could help him, and he presented his prayer. We have the prophet, we see the problem, and we hear the prayer. The prayer is, sir, come down, heal my son, he's at the point of death. Jesus says, go your way, your son liveth. The man believed his word. Jesus had spoken unto him a word, and he believed it and went his way. This nobleman presented his prayer. It pays to pray. It pays to get on your knees before God. I read some time ago that the shortest distance between success and failure is between your knee and the floor. Get before God come to one who can help you. Practice presenting petitions to the Master. Satan is not disturbed by one who professes Christianity. So long as you don't practice it, doesn't bother Satan at all to just profess Christianity. And one of the practices of true Christians, wherever you meet them, one of their consistent practices is prayer. Saul, as soon as he met the Lord, he asked, Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm ready to get instructions from you. He spoke to the Lord, what met him on the Damascus road. And all through his earthly ministry, Paul indicates that he was a man of prayer. And we would advise you, if you have a problem, and I believe some of you do, you have a problem, and you don't know the solution, you don't know the answer to your own questions, speak to Jesus about it. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the great prophet, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There was a woman in Luke chapter 8. We read of her who had an issue of blood, and she spent all her living on physicians. Nothing better, but rather grew worse. But that dear woman, according to the biblical record, she heard about Jesus, she went to where he was, and she received a tremendous blessing. In simple trusting faith, she just touched the hem of his garment, and the blessing of the Lord was her portion. In Luke chapter 18, we read of a publican who went in the temple to pray. There was a Pharisee there, and he prayed too. Both of them go to the temple to pray, but how different their prayers. One offers a prayer. The Pharisee thanks God that he is a cut above everybody else. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I am not an adulterer. I'm not a thief. I'm not a murderer. I don't do any of these horrible things. Even like this publican down here, I don't live that lifestyle. He made his prayer. But the publican, the sinner, the guilty man, he bows humbly before God. And he says, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am the one standing in the need of your help. I have a problem. I am a sinner. I have grieved you. I have wandered far from you. And I need your help. Thank God, the Savior who heard that man, and the Bible tells us that this publican went down to his house justified rather than the other. In other words, he went home just as if he had never sinned. The load had been lifted. The burden had been taken away. The blessing had been imparted. And this publican went home justified. Justified by faith. He has peace with God. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. It started when he realized his need and he goes into the temple to pray. And his simple prayer was, Have mercy upon me, O God. Be merciful to me, O Lord. And if you have a problem, the great prophet is here. And he's here to listen. He is listening. Your faintest whisper, he will hear. He said to Jeremiah, Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Jeremiah was down in a pit. He was in distress. He had been ostracized and banished from the presence of the king. But he called upon the Lord, called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord promised him, If you call upon me, I will answer you. Would you like to call on him today?
Is there a problem that you have in your home, in your family, in your business, a health-related problem? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. He who turned water into wine. He who healed this youngster who was sick unto death. The fever departed from him. And he was completely well. The Lord didn't even have to stretch out a hand and touch him. The Lord didn't have to travel miles to his house. The Lord just spoke the word, and his word is life. His word is powerful. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. He can speak the word of peace, the word of pardon, the word of comfort to your heart. So if you have a problem of any kind, whatever it may be, our brethren here may not be able to assist, but they point you to someone who can help you. And that one is Jesus. All the servants of God who come to this podium week after week and proclaim the message of the gospel, they are like John the Baptist, faithful forerunner of Christ. They say to you and to me, they speak to our hearts, and God's servants all have the same message. Behold, look, the Lamb of God. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the Lamb of God. He taketh away the sin of the world. He is able to meet your need. He is the great problem solver. This same one who was despised and rejected, this prophet who had no honor in his own country, thank God he is ruling and reigning in righteousness. And the day is not far distant when he's going to return to set things right on here on planet Earth. Are you ready for his return? Talk to him today. In the quietness of your own heart, call upon him. He will hear your faintest cry and he will answer. Shall we bow in prayer? We're going to have just a brief prayer, close the service. But we'd like to give you an opportunity, if you have a problem, whatever it may be, you needn't explain it to us, but if you have a problem and need the Lord's help, the Lord tells us that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. So if you have trouble of any kind in your heart, in your life, in your business, you have a problem that you cannot solve, Jesus is here to help. Would you like us to pray for you as we close our service? If you have a desire that we join you in prayer concerning your special need, we'd encourage you, just put up your hand to indicate to us that you are one of those that have need of the prayers of God's people for solution to your problem. Anybody would like us to pray for you? We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to plead with you unduly, but we do have a witness and a testimony. Many of us can testify that there's nothing too hard for the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ can meet your need. Whatever it is, anybody would like us to pray for you as we close? Thank you, ma'am. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand, too. I see your hand. Lord, you know these two dear ladies who have raised a hand to indicate that they have a need of some kind. We don't know exactly what the need is, but there is nothing hidden from you. Your eyes are upon every detail of each heart and each life. And so we pray that you will undertake for these dear ones. Minister to them as you alone are able to do. Some of us are fearful about the future.
We don't know what the future holds, but we thank you, Lord, that you hold the future. You are not only in the past and in the present, but you are also in the future, in the days ahead. We know that you ever live to make intercession for us. So undertake for those who have raised their hands for prayer. Bless them, Lord. Meet their need. Answer their questions. Solve their problems. And do for them exceeding abundantly above whatever we can ask or think. Accept our thanks for our coming together this morning. Dismiss us with your blessing and grant that we'll have a time of refreshing, help in all the activities for the rest of this day, especially in the meeting tonight. We ask for your help and your blessing in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Those of you who can make it to the evening service, we'll be glad to see you. And we believe that the Lord will have something from His Word that may be of help and benefit to you. God bless you.